Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Krishna and the Gopis Meet, verses 33 to 37. Am I right?
I would say
36 has no purple, so it must be 36.
Or
38,
31,
32. Oh. Really, it was purple to 37. Okay. So 37 is not on.
Not on
this year. Alright, so 33 to 38. Okay, so we'll read 38. Tan na dasida rijinardana te angri mula rapta visrijya vasatis twad upasanasha twad sundara smita nirikshana tibra kama taptatmana purusha bhushana dehi dasya. Is 36 on?
No.
Oh. No, 37 is a good one. Okay. Tan tat, therefore, na, to us, proceed,
please show your mercy,
vrijana, of all distress, ardana, O vanquisher, te, your angry mula, feet, prapta, we have approached visrijya, renouncing vasati, our homes, twat upasana,
the worship of you,
asha, hoping for that your sundara, beautiful smita, smiling nirikshana, because of the glances, tibra, intense kama, by the lust, tapta, burned, atmanam, whose hearts, purusha, of all men, bhushana, O ornament, dehi, please grant, dasya, servitude. Translation. Therefore, O vanquisher of all distress, please show us mercy. To approach your lotus feet, we abandon our families and homes, and we have no desire other than to serve you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires, generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maidservants. In purport. When Sri Krishna was born, the sage Garga predicted that he would manifest all the opulences of the Supreme Lord Narayan. The gopis now appeal to the Lord to fulfill this prediction by being merciful in granting them direct service, just as Lord Narayan awards direct service to his loving devotees. The gopis emphasize that they did not give up their families and homes with the hope of securing a higher pleasure from Krishna. They are simply begging for service, revealing their pure-hearted devotion. The gopis think, if in the course of your pursuing your happiness, we somehow or other become happy by seeing your face, what is the harm in that? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments on the words Purusha Bhushana, O jewel among men. The Thakur states that the gopis meant to say, O jewel of all males, please decorate our golden bodies with the dark blue gems of your limbs. So we will read from verse 33. Kurvanti hi tvai ratim kushala swaatman nitya priye patisudadibir artidai kim tanna prasida parameshvara masvachindya asham dritam tvai chirad aravindra netra. Expert transcendentalists always direct their affection toward you because they recognize you as their true self and eternal beloved. What use do we have for these husbands, children, and relatives of ours who simply give us trouble? Therefore, O Supreme Controller, grant us your mercy. O Lotus-Eyed One, please do not cut down our long-cherished hope to have your association. Chitam sukena bhavata paritam griheshu yan nirvishat yutakara vapi grihya kritye pado padam nachalatas tavapada mulad yama katam vrajamato karavama kimva. Until today, our minds were absorbed in household affairs, but you easily stole both our minds and our hands away from our housework. Now our feet won't move one step from your lotus feet. How can we go back to Vraja? What would we do there? And there's a purport here also. Sri Krishna had blown into his flute, and the intoxicating music that had come out of its holes had stolen the minds of the young gopi girls. Now they had come to see Krishna to demand back their stolen property. But they could regain their minds only if Sri Krishna accepted them and engaged with them in conjugal affairs. Sri Krishna might have replied, But my dear gopis, just go home for now. Let me consider the situation for a day or two, and then I'll give you back your minds. In reply to this possible argument, the gopis state, Our feet refuse to move even one step, so please give us back our minds and accept us, and then we'll go. Sinchanganas tvad adaramrita purakena hasava loka kalagita jahrich chayagnim No chit vayam vira hajag nupayukta deha jnana yama padayo padavim sakete. Dear Krishna, please pour the nectar of your lips upon the fire within our hearts, a fire you ignited with your smiling glances and the sweet song of your flute. If you do not, we'll consign our bodies to the fire of separation from you, O friend, and thus, like yogis, attain to the abode of your lotus feet by meditation. Yar yambu jakshatava pada talam ramaya datakshanam kwachidaranya jana priyasya asprakshma tat prabritinanya samakshamanja Statums tvaya biramita vata parayama. O lotus-eyed one, The goddess of fortune considers it a festive occasion whenever she touches the soles of your lotus feet. You are very dear to the residents of the forest, and therefore we will also touch those lotus feet. From that time on, we'll be unable even to stand in the presence of any other man, for we will have been fully satisfied by you. Shri Yapadambuja Rajas Chakame Tulasya Ladvapi Vakshasi Padam Kila Britya Jushtam Yas Yasva Vikshana Utanya Sura Prayasas Tadvad Vayam Chatava Pada Raja Prapanna. Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the demigods with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining on the chest of her lord, Narayan. Still, she desires the dust of his lotus feet, even though she has to share that dust with Tulsi Devi, and indeed with the Lord's many other servants. Similarly, we have approached the dust of your lotus feet for shelter. Purport. The gopis here point out that the dust of the Lord's feet is so ecstatic and enlivening that the goddess of fortune wants to abandon her unique position on his chest to share with many other devotees a position at his feet. Thus the gopis urge Lord Krishna not to be guilty of a double standard. Since the Lord gave the goddess of fortune a place on his chest and also allowed her to seek the dust of his lotus feet, Krishna should certainly give the same opportunity to his most loving devotees, the gopis. After all, the gopis plead, seeking the dust of your lotus feet is perfectly justified, and you should encourage us in this endeavor and not try to send us away. Tanna prasida vrijanardana tengri mulam prapta visrija vasatis padupasanasha tvatsundarasmita nirikshana tivrakama taptatmanam purushabhushana dehidasyam. Therefore, O vanquisher of all distress, please show us your mercy. To approach your lotus feet, we abandon our families and homes, and we have no desire other than to serve you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maid servants. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtha Vistapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadavikam Vanchakalpata Rupiya Stakri Pasimbe Vya Vachapaditanam Bhavane Vya Vaishnave Vya Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanichananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasni Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's a number of points made between these three purports. In the second purport, the point is made that Goddess Lakshmi, well, in that verse 37, Goddess Lakshmi, even though she has that position on the chest of the Lord, which she doesn't have to share with anyone, but still she is hankering for the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. So, of course, this can be taken in two ways. One is that humility is better. The lower the position, the better, the more nectar. As Lord Chaitanya prayed, Gopi Bhatur Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudas, that what is my position? Who am I? What am I? I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vaishya and Kshatriya and so on like that. But Gopi Bhatur Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudas, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is Gopi Bhartu, the master of the gopis. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, would refer to that verse from time to time and bring out this point, that being a servant is better. And even amongst the servants, being a lower servant is better than being a higher servant. Of course, in material existence, this idea of being a servant is not appreciated. As we've mentioned before, that one writer wrote, I think it's in Faust. Who wrote Faust? Can't remember. Wagner? Anyway. Somebody, German. It's all about someone who makes a pact with the devil. Anyway, but his idea is better to be king in hell than servant in heaven. This is like a motto of the non-devotees. Let me not be a servant. Let me be a master, superior person. And I don't care where, as long as I can be superior. So better to be king in hell than servant in heaven. But the devotees think the exact opposite. That better to be the servant, and better to be the lower servant than the higher servant. This is best. So therefore Lord Chaitanya, what he actually says there, is Gopi Bhata Pada Kamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. He's not even saying Dasa Dasa Das. Prabhupada would say, in commenting on this statement of Lord Chaitanya's, that the more times Das is there before us, the better. Dasa 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 Das, better. The more times, further down the line. It doesn't mean that we are more distant, but it means that we are connected by the mercy of more higher people. By each time, das, a das, a das, each time means another servant is in between us and the Lord. But it means that their mercy is available to us. That's what it really means. Not that they're blocking the way and therefore we cannot get anywhere near and therefore we become isolated and disconnected and fall away. But each time Das, then the mercy of that person who we are the servant of or the servant of the servant of and so on, their mercy is there. So 10 dasas, if we are the 11th das, that means we get the mercy of those 10 servants. And of course they're all greater than us. And ultimately the first one at least, who is Krishna Das as such, Gopi Bhartu Das, who is actually the servant of Krishna as the master of the gopis, then that's a very special person who has so much mercy. And we're also getting that mercy. So better to be further down the line, as far as possible. And because all those dasas, all those other servants, because they're all transparent via mediums, at the same time as getting their mercy and being with them and being connected through them in a chain, but at the same time, because of their transparency, we are with the Lord. We are with the Lord. We are not just remote. But we see the Lord. They're transparent via medium. Yes. There's a saying, probably, I'm sure you've heard the saying. It's just a sort of, I don't know about low class, but just a funny little English saying. You make a better door than a window. You're familiar with that, sir? Someone is in the way. You want to see the deities, but someone is just standing in the way. You make a better door than a window. Don't worry about that. But they're like windows. They're like windows. They're not like doors that somehow you have to get through. They're like windows so you can see directly. In that way, the relationship is there. But as Lord Chaitanya said, dasa das anu das, that I am not dasa dasa das, I'm dasa das anu das. That anu means very small. Actually, anu means atomic. In fact, the English equivalent for anu is atom. So, small, as small as is possible. There's nothing smaller. As Lord Brahma said, what did he say? Mandantarastam paramanu chayantarastam. That Krishna is so small that he is within the anu. He's so small. He's within the anu, within the atom. So, like this Lord Chaitanya saying, I'm dasa das anu das. I'm the little servant of the servants. I cannot say that I am a servant. To be a servant is a big thing. Even Srila Prabhupada, one time he was asked, so your position is, you regard yourself as a servant of God, right? He was asked. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. I am a servant of my spiritual master. To be a servant of God is a very rare thing. Yes. So, Lakshmi's sentiment can perhaps be interpreted in that way. But even though she has position of very high servant, she's the only one who can be on the chest of the Lord. Lord Narayan is worshipped practically exclusively in the mood of servitude. The highest amongst the devotees of Narayan is Lakshmi. She has some conjugal element. That is why she can be on the chest. But still the mood of servitude is very strongly there. And she is the highest. And all the others, essentially, they're on the level of servant. And they would never dream. They would not even really think that, could I embrace the Lord to his chest? Perhaps. They wouldn't even think like that. Even we see in Ayodhya, Hanuman, he's also so much in the mood of servitude. But there's slight tinge of friendship sometimes. So therefore at some point there's a famous incident, Lord Ram embraced Hanuman. You don't normally embrace the servant. You embrace the friend. So this famous picture, I'm sure you've seen, that Lord Rama is embracing Hanuman. And of course Hanuman was extremely happy, but he also felt very embarrassed. He felt very embarrassed that my Lord, my great Lord, is embracing me. Yeah, so amongst the associates of Narayan, they're all in the mood of servitude. Only Lakshmi has some conjugal element is there because she is the wife. But still she's thinking, let me just get some dust from the feet. Let me go down to the feet. So that's one point. Second point is, that dust is so nice. That even if you are embracing the Lord to his chest, even if that is going on, then still some aspiration, some attraction will naturally be there to get the dust from the feet. Not necessarily simply because of humility, but because that dust simply in and of itself is so attractive, so beautiful, so rich, and there's so much nectar there. So therefore we find that all the devotees, the gopis themselves here, the gopis themselves, who, along with embracing the chest of the Lord, they would like to kiss the lips of the Lord and drink the nectar from his lips even. This is even higher than Lakshmi Devi. Like full-blown conjugal type of aspiration. But even they who have abandoned their families, homes, and their reputations, and their futures, and in that way practically abandoned their lives on the basis of conjugal attraction, but still they're thinking that maybe we could be maid servants also. Maybe we could get some dust from your lotus feet. Take that lowly position. Of course, we understand that the higher rasas include the lower rasas, so we should not be surprised if or when sometimes we encounter devotees in higher rasas expressing moods from lower rasas on some occasions. It is not a contradiction. It is just that the higher rasas include the lower rasas, and the pastimes, the interactions being what they are, all the elements of the moods manifest, at least from time to time. All the elements manifest. Even though, of course, with the gopis, the conjugal mood is predominant and is really ruling completely, but still sometimes you get, like here, let us get some dust from your feet, and let us be your maid servants, like that, some little tinge, some little manifestation of Dasya Rasa's coming. But we find, with all the devotees, all the great devotees, very, very exalted associates of the Lord, all of them are attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord. They're all attracted to that dust. Lord Chaitanya himself said, that my dear Lord, son of Nanda Maharaj, let me just be one atom of dust at your lotus feet. I don't even want to be like get a whole lot of dust. Just one little speck, one piece, one atom of that dust, and that's fine. That's fine. So, yes, like this. And even, you know, that dust is so wonderful that Lakshmi was thinking of giving up her position on the chest. It came to that point. She was thinking of abandoning her position on the chest to get the dust from the feet. So don't underestimate those feet. I have read years ago somewhere, I read something, it was some academic scholar writing some little commentary on some of these pastimes. And this person made the point or said that, you know, the way these people in these books have such a fascination for feet. It's strange. You know, in what other culture do you find people talking about other people's feet so much? Like, wow, great. Faces and bodies and, you know, so on, eyes and whatnot, perhaps. But feet, normally we cover the feet. Yeah. But those so-called lowly feet, the lowest part of the body, always in contact with the dirt. But here, this whole realm, everything is so high that even the feet are glorious. And even the dirt on the feet, which otherwise is fit only to be washed off, but that dirt becomes so worshipable. Yes. And so then, in this last verse 38, the gopis are remembering how Gargamuni said, indirectly said, that Krishna will be as good as Narayan. Basically, he said that, more or less. So Lord Narayan allows people to serve his lotus feet. Why won't you let us serve your lotus feet? This is a double standard. Gargarishi, he says no wrong. He does no wrong. Whatever he says is true. He said you'd be like Narayan. Narayan allows the devotees to serve his lotus feet. So why don't you? If you have to allow us. If you don't allow us, then it's a double standard. We'll complain to Gargarishi and maybe he'll do something. Take his statement back or disempower you or something. And then the gopis say that we have no desire. Our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. So of course we know in material life, boy looks at girl, boy or girl or one of them smiles. You know, in sort of cultured society, when boy looks at girl, if there's no relationship established in the right way, somehow boy and girl, you have to look somewhere, you know. You can't look nowhere. So you just sort of, suddenly you just find, oh, you're looking at that girl or boy. So if that girl or boy, well, normally in cultured society, they will not smile. They'll just immediately look away, and so should you. This is there. If somehow your glance just accidentally happens to land in that place, then just look away. And even in our materialistic society, you know, we all know. You look at someone and they look at you, but if you know them, then you should acknowledge them. But if they're strangers, then it is not done to just look at them. You must immediately look away, and they'll also look away because it's some sort of remnant of social etiquette. You don't just look at people. But if that boy or girl smiles at you, then something is definitely stimulated within. So this has been happening. This has been happening in Vrindavan, that they glance at each other from time to time, and these are loaded glances. They're not just sort of, you know, just general absent-minded gazes that happen to land somewhere to, but they are very loaded glances. There's so much behind it all. And so the gopis say that our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. So now, if it so happens that boy and girl, they actually are harboring some attraction to each other, although it has not really manifested and they're not really acting on it yet. But then they happen to glance at each other and then they do smile. Then, you know, that's sort of the beginning of the end. Something like that. But what is ignited? What is ignited is the blazing fire of lust, really, of material attraction. So it sounds here like the gopis are saying the same thing. That this glancing has been going on and we have become attracted because you look nice and you think we look nice and so on like this. But actually what is going on is that the intense desire that has been generated within their hearts is an intense desire to please Krishna. And they have deduced that his attraction to them, there's a conjugal element in it. They have deduced that. And they're feeling, okay, if that's what you want, we are open, we are ready for that. We are ready to have such a relationship. And not just we are ready, but, oh, if you want to enjoy like that with us, we are at your disposal completely. Go ahead, please. We want you to enjoy with us, or to enjoy us, like that. And as is stated here, the gopis think, if in the course of your pursuing your happiness, this conjugal happiness, we somehow or other become happy by seeing your face, that's all right. Yes, so this is the nature of that attraction. The gopis feel they have a burning desire for conjugal relationship. But really the essence of that is that they know that Krishna has a conjugal attraction and he wants to enjoy conjugally with them. And they want to please him in any way. If he wanted to please himself by screaming at them, abusing them, hitting them, then that would be fine. But it's a conjugal attraction. And so they're ready. They're enthusiastic. Yes, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Through us, through your contact with us. And that is really the nature of their desire. But of course, through that, when they see that, yes, Krishna wanted to enjoy in that way, now he is enjoying in that way, then they become happy. Not because there's just some sensual experience of physical contact or all that sort of thing. But they then become happy because of the fact that Krishna has become happy through his conjugal contact with them. Any comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.